Anthony Armendariz is a founder and a partner at Fundsize, a creative design agency, which he started with his wife, Natalie. They spend years being laser-focused on business, working day in and day out to make sure their business can now count Facebook, Oracle, Adobe, EA, AT&T, and many others among their successful customers. Can such an ambitious and hardworking couple have a baby and actually enjoy it? We sit down with Anthony to find out. This is a special episode because I had a pleasure to record Anthony twice. Once just before they had their baby, and once shortly after. You can hear for yourself what goes on in the mind of a successful business owner and how his world changes with an arrival of a child.
Thanks for having me on the show, Kirill. It's always good to catch up with you, and I've started to listen to your podcast to get started thinking about all things baby, so it's a pleasure to be here.
So are you freaking out?
I'm screaming on the inside. But I think I'm portraying calm and collected on the outside, but honestly, I'm quite scared.
What's so scary about it? You're going to be great.
I don't really know why I'm scared. You know, I think that maybe the hardest thing that I do is run this business, and that doesn't scare me at all. I think I just have experience doing that. You know, I've been doing this design business stuff for 20 years. It's the only thing in my life that feels natural. Having a baby is just something that I never really didn't want to have a baby. Natalie and I had talked about it, but we were both kind of on the fence about whether or not we wanted to have a family or not. It happened, and it's a very happy surprise. Like, I'm very excited about it now, but I guess my fear is that I'm worried that I won't be able to flip the switch and be family oriented, because I think I've developed really bad habits over the last 20 years of just being super focused on work. Plus, I grew up in a family that, you know, we didn't have a lot of money and we didn't have a lot of means. We lived very comfortably, but you know, I hustled through my teens, through my 20s, and all the way through my 30s just to make a name and a living for myself. And only maybe 5 years ago, when I was 35, did I really feel like I had stability in my life. And so now, you know, between the age of 35 and 40, which I am now, are really the only years where I felt like I've had freedom to live my life the way I want to and the ability to think about myself. So in a way, I've kind of intentionally become a selfish person, and I don't really know if I'm ready to give that up.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, it's kind of late at this point, right? and then, of course, there's always boarding schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you've been running an agency for a while. You've done that pretty good. So now you're just going to have to switch gears and apply the same thinking to your kid, and hopefully things are going to work out. What do you think?
You know, everyone that has a baby talks about how great it is having babies, right? Like how amazing that experience is, and how, you know, you'll never be able to love something as much as you love this human being in your life. And you don't, I mean, I suppose you just really don't understand that at all until you experience it. So I just kind of ignore everything that everyone tells me about it. And I just am preparing for an experience, you know, just a ride. I'm looking forward to the ride, and I am looking forward to being a dad. I think I'll be a good dad. I'm definitely not getting any younger either. So I'm kind of excited we're having a baby now that I'm 40, and that way I'm not like an old, old, old man dad.
Wow, I'm going to send you a cane as a present.
Yeah, well, you know, my dad was 30 when he was 29 or 30 when he had me. I'm 40 when I'm having my first. So I'm trying to think, like, you know, when my son is, I'm just going to be an old dad, you know, but I'm okay with that. I'm young at heart, young in the mind.
Did you hear what you just said, though? You're not a dad yet, but you've already said you're having your first at 40. That means there's an opportunity for more after this one.
There may be an opportunity, but I'm pretty sure Natalie and I are going to make sure that opportunity doesn't exist. We're very clear on one and done, but we are very excited. It's just, you know, getting ready to have a baby when you run a business with your life partner is extremely challenging, because we both work for the same company, which we own, found, and run, and both of us are critical to be 100% in the business for the business to be successful, for us to make a livelihood so that we can provide for our family. Wrapping our heads around that has probably been the biggest challenge.
Let's talk about this in a minute, because you mentioned the other day that your mom-in-law is actually going to come and help you guys out full-time, et cetera. But, you know, I'm really happy to have you here, because I think a lot of people probably in your shoes and thinking of like, oh, well, should we have a kid? Because we have all this business and this and the other. And I want to know what's going on through your head, like now and for the last, you know, 9 months. So can you take me a little bit through your kind of feelings and experiences leading up to this point?
Yeah, I think, well, when we moved to Austin 7 years ago, one of the reasons why we moved here was to start a family. When we started a business instead, our story changed and it became more about like building a business and have a family at work. And that's when we started changing our opinions about having our own family. But then a few years passed and we decided, well, you know, if it happens, we have a family, it happens, but we're not going to actually try. Like we're just going to live life and see what happens. And Natalie became pregnant and I was super excited. But it didn't feel real. In fact, it didn't even really feel real to me until I could see the sonograms where when I could see the baby's face for the first time. That's the only moment to me where it felt like it was actually happening. So months and months up and before that, it didn't even feel real. Plus, I didn't want to count my blessings too early because, you know, we had lost a baby 2 years before. So yeah. And then when it became real, then I started sort of realizing, like you said, that I need to start applying the way that I think at work to the way that I think about my family. You know, I'm constantly obsessed with client experience and employee experience and process design and this sort of stuff. So I have been sort of trying to apply that to home. Like, how can I be more present when I'm with Natalie? Like, how can I make sure that every second that I'm with her, I'm really there with her, and then I'm not behind technology, and then I'm like full mentally there. I want to start building that ability so that I can actually be present with a child. I mean, there's a difference in being with your family and like being around your family. And I think that if you're on the phone or if you're on TV or on a computer, you're not really with your family, you're just around your family. So I'm trying to build some habits. So now that we're the baby is due on July 9th and today is July 3rd. It's really honestly about living, like enjoying every single moment. You know, like I should have really been thinking about that for the last 9 months, but it's really only the last maybe few weeks where I, you know, really realized, oh wow, like this might be the last time that Natalie and I have dinner together where it's just the two of us. And so I'm just really trying to make this time special and build some new habits that'll allow me to be a good father.
I'm secretly hoping that Natalie calls you right now and says, Anthony, it's time. You know, you have to run away from the podcast.
But it would be exciting if it happens today, because today is my dad's birthday.
Awesome. Happy birthday to your dad.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
Yeah. You guys are probably some of the best people I know in terms of being able to keep that work-life balance where you guys do consciously check out and have life of your own, and at the same, and also having, because you're running your own business, you can also mix the two. So that's kind of nice, right? Because when you guys go out, you can meet clients and go out at the same time. Like, do you think that's kind of a awesome part about you owning your own agency and choosing your hours, that kind of stuff? And
yeah, you know, honestly, you're right. When you think about it, like, I think, you know, a lot of the things that I'm feeling are whining, you know, like I actually have the luxury of taking off as much time as I want to take off from work indefinitely and still make a paycheck. I have the ability to work from home if I want, whenever I want. I have the ability to, you know, I don't have to, you know, Natalie and I make the rules. So I think that we are extremely lucky in that we can design our life the way that we want to. We have been, and I think we will be able to design in the future. So with that said, yeah, I think Natalie and I are in a very lucky position. I just think sometimes we forget that, and you know, context is such a weird thing, but you're right. Yeah. Yeah. We totally can do what, you know, things that most employed folks can't.
And well, you guys also spread it around. Like I remember hanging out at your office and your employees are pretty laid back as well, right? And everybody gets to have a life. It's not just you. It's the whole company, and which is what makes it so magical. So 9 months before having a baby, you know, what's the most like exciting thing that you've guys done? And, you know, tell me what was the most maybe shocking or unpleasant or just strange experience that you had about preparing for the baby.
It's been relatively smooth for us. I mean, the pregnancy has been very smooth. Natalie and I are both like focused. We've been prepared in advance. Maybe one of the most shocking things is how supportive all your friends and family can be when this stage of your life happens. Like, we have had no shortage of friends that, you know, drop by and you know, help by giving us gifts for the baby or gifts for Natalie. I think a lot of people forget that there's a mother there too. It's not just a baby. Like, our friends have been very thoughtful that, you know, like, it's Natalie and Anthony and the baby. It's not just the baby. And, you know, people have been coming over, helping out, throwing us, you know, hangouts and all this sort of stuff. I didn't really expect that. I think also another unexpected thing is it's crazy how like when contexts change, how so can your whole strategy. So like, for example, we've been pretty stoked on living, you know, in this house that we live in, which is a very modern home. But as soon as, you know, we found out we were having a baby, something changed in me where all of a sudden, like, I don't want to live in this house anymore. I want to live in a one-story house that's safe and that is designed a certain way for like thinking about, you know, a layout for a family versus a layout for two, you know, working professionals. And I think it's just like some things in my brain are really the way that I think has been the most shocking thing. I didn't really, you know, you don't really know what to expect. That's probably, and other than that, I mean, this print's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's a great lesson though for everyone listening that you got to remember the parents are also there, right? It's not just going to be the baby. And I mean, stoked that you have awesome friends. By the way, while you're worrying about the house, you know, now that we have two kids, like, don't. When you have a first baby, you just like want to protect the baby and wrap everything in bubble wrap. But by the time you have a second baby, you're like, yeah, you know, like child gate, yeah, optional, you know, like protectors on sockets, yeah, optional. At the end of the day, they're like pretty resilient and pretty good and about taking care of themselves, and they're like really smart. So yeah, you start to let things go because you realize like a lot of that was actually pushed on you by the media and by the advertisers saying, oh, go buy all this stuff. And like, yeah. Nope, you know, like, I don't know how much stuff you've already bought, but basically you don't need like most of it. You need like a bunch of diapers and a couple pair of pants and like a couple onesies, and that will serve you for the next 6 months. And then you'll figure out what you need afterwards. But yeah.
So just I have a question for you, as a parent of two, you know, what is the acceptable amount of falls or cuts or scrapes or scars that a family can expect without having to freak out? You know, I mean, like,
well, I'd say probably don't drop your newborn. if you can help it. Although I think when I was a kid, I did fall out of a stroller and, you know, I'm still okay on the stairs. So, I mean, you know, that might explain some behaviors that, but no, honestly, I think they're really good about like not hurting themselves, and you'll be surprised. Like even little babies, they're really flexible, right? Like, I mean, our older had her fingers like once stuck in the door, or like she fell off the counter once, and those kind of things. And yeah, they happen and just go on, and they seem to be okay. So I'd say don't freak out too much. Where was it? I think it was one of the camps for the older one where they said, you know, kids are supposed to have like scratches and bruises and that kind of stuff. That's fine. Just, and really it is. I mean, to an extent, but minor things are perfectly fine. Just don't even worry about it.
I'm really OCD. Like, I'm the kind of person that won't wear a pair of new sneakers if it gets a scratch on it. And I freak out when I get like a scar on myself, or when Natalie, like if Natalie gets a cut and she doesn't take care of it and it scars, it freaks me out. And I'm worried about projecting that particular OCD tendency on another human being that's my child and being too overprotective.
Yeah, I was just reading an article the other day, sort of related tangentially. They did a study between American kids and Mayan kids, and how American kids weren't able to pay attention as much as Mayan kids is because American parents do everything for their children, and children forget how to like pay attention and learn on their own. And the other kids were performing much better because they're so used to doing chores and errands and just sitting there and observing what adults are doing. So they were like astronomically better at paying attention. it's just an example of how, as a parent, you can really influence your kids, and like this overbearing behavior can actually create a negative outcome. So yeah, maybe, you know, ease on OCD. But on the other hand, like, little baby's little baby, you know, you'll figure it out. So,
yeah.
And there's always a podcast, so you can listen to what other parents are doing. And
oh, yeah, yeah. There is a podcast that.
But speaking of, like you said, you've listened to some episodes. How's it been so far? You know, did you pick up on anything that you think you're going to find useful?
I think the parts of the conversations, that there was one in particular, I can't remember who the guest was, but it was a conversation about how he was upset at the child for months after it was born because of what the child did to his wife's body and her, to her. And I think that I'm expecting a very smooth delivery, but that's probably me, right? Like I, you know, first and foremost, I care about Natalie. It's weird to say this, and maybe it's not, but the most important person in my life is Natalie, not this baby. And I know that that might change in the future when I'm a father and I'm thinking about, you know, self-preservation and the family line and, you know, the future generation and all that. But at least right now, the only person in my life that is the most important is Natalie. And the baby is just a new family member that's in our life. And I'm trying everything that I can do to make sure that the baby is in our life and not that we're in the baby's life. Does that make sense?
I think it totally makes sense. And and the podcast you're thinking of was with Alexei. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes sense. And even what you're saying about preserving family line, that kind of stuff, I think that's also the society just imposing certain rules and constraints on you. In reality, you have your life, your own, and especially in your case, right, where your business is tied to your life so tightly and your business is what kind of creates your living, that I think it's perfectly fine that Natalie is the most important person right now.
Yeah. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband, because I think I have to be great at those two things. Like, you know, for things not to completely blow up, I need to be a great father and a great husband. And then secondarily, I need to be a great leader for the other people that, you know, that I take care of every day, and hopefully a better son. But I don't want, it's important for me for this baby to live in the world that I live in. Like if I want to listen to punk rock or heavy metal music at 11 or 12 in the morning, I'm going to do that until the baby can express to me that that's too loud. You know, if I need to take the baby on business trips or to networking events or to work, I'm going to do that. The baby is in our life. Like I'm optimizing for that experience, not the opposite.
I'm very curious to see how that's going to change after you actually have the baby, because I think, at least in my experience, some adjustments had to be made, and they're not really negative. They're just that they enable you to have more life. Like, for example, our kids go to sleep like 6 p.m. for the younger one and 7 for the older one, maybe 7:30 sometimes, right? Which sounds crazy. It's like, wow, they go to sleep so early. And like, yeah, sure, but they sleep till 6 o'clock in the morning. Which means from, you know, 7 p.m. to midnight, we get our time back to ourselves. So we don't have to, it's like some parents will keep their babies up till 10 and the babies will be like in their life, which is fine. But for us, it's just like, well, they're sleeping. So now we have time for ourselves. And that's just the adjustment we found for ourselves, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's just something to keep in mind, that maybe you don't have to force it like on the baby. You know, it's things like if you want to listen to punk rock, you can listen with the baby or you could put headphones on. And I've done a lot of that with, I think, both kids when they were like super young for the first 6 months, where you try to put them to sleep. I'll put on headphones on and listen to a podcast and rock them to sleep or whatever it needed to be done. But this way I can multitask, like especially little babies, they don't really care. Right? They're just there.
That's really interesting. And I think that you're probably right about this. I think a lot of the fears that I have my mind is going crazy and I'm just kind of nervous. And so, you know, sometimes that nervousness gets expressed as like extreme excitement. And sometimes that nervousness gets expressed as uncomfortability or the need to protect, right? Like, you know, or, you know, things like that. But I really think that it is probably going to just work itself out like everything else does. And I am kind of excited about making some changes in my life. I think that it would be good for me as a human being, and to be a good, to be healthy personally, and to be a good husband, and to be a good leader. I think going to bed earlier and waking up earlier in general would be a very positive life change for me. I think having more responsibility outside of work and going on a journey of becoming less one-dimensional, like work is not the most important thing in the world. That's very healthy. I'm also excited about picking up new habits. Like you were talking about, like, you know, some of the things that just happen. And I think one of the things that I'm most excited about is my good friend Stephen Ray recommended that I start a habit of reading to the baby every night forever, like for as long as I can, because it is a way to read to the baby, but it's also a way to read things that I'm interested in. And I don't get time like that now. And if I can design that into my life, and maybe these things will make me better.
Well, that's actually exciting. So instead of reading baby books, what you're saying is pick up a book you want to read and just start reading that.
And read it out loud. Yeah.
Huh. That's a great hack. Never thought about it.
Well, yeah. At least until, you know, it gets to a certain age where you can't do that anymore, but I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Sounds like you've been picking up on a lot of advice, right? From other parents and friends.
I've sort of, you know how it is. Like everyone gives you advice. It's just a flood. Like they give you advice when you don't want to hear it. I've just been like selecting the best of the best ideas and then just sort of writing them down and banking it and, you know, see what happens. But you never know, like this baby could come and something might change in me where I don't ever want to go back to fun size. Maybe I want to be a stay home dad. You just never know.
Stay home dads are awesome.
Maybe I want to, focus on the baby. Yeah, it's hard to imagine what's going to happen when we see this little child. And it's also really strange because, you know, I don't know if most dads or expecting dads feel this way, but Natalie asked me several weeks ago, do you feel a connection to this child? And I said, because he's not inside, growing inside of my body and sharing my blood and my food, and I can't feel it kick. You know, I can see it kick and I can feel it kick every now and then, but I don't expect that I will be able to develop a connection with this child until, you know, weeks after this child is born. Do you think that that's pretty normal?
I don't know. I don't remember anymore. Huh. I don't remember what it was like before having kids. That's kind of fun part about interviewing you right now. Maybe we'll find out what you feel like, 3 months from now and whether that's changed. But what you're experiencing is exactly what Alexei was talking about in his podcast, how for the first 2 years, he basically didn't feel the connection until his baby started talking, and all of a sudden he got a feedback loop and that got really exciting. So I think that's normal for some parents. It's just the society makes it look like, everybody's got to love their kids from day minus 9 months and be excited about it.
It's crazy, crazy stuff, man. It's weird that people like me should even feel nervous about this. I mean, people have been having babies since the beginning of time. And it's such a natural, normal thing. It's just weird how it doesn't happen as often as it used to, like people waiting till much later in life to have a baby or only having one, and smaller families, people living in smaller places. And it's just kind of crazy when you really think about it.
Speaking of crazy, so let's go back to fun size and baby's due in a couple of days. Are you guys doing anything about preparing the business for the child, or are you just going to stay at work right through and hope for the best?
We had a lot to do, and we started planning for this as soon as we found out that we were expecting. There was quite a big list of things that we needed to do both at home and at work, but we knew that we should probably start with work first, because if we could get things set up in a specific way at work, it would probably lead to less stress, more focus on the baby, and ultimately a happier life down the road. So we focused on further defining, at least for a period of time, what roles I would play at the company and what roles Natalie would play. And we gave promotion and new responsibilities and autonomy to Mari, our managing director now, who used to be director of operations. So we built up the leadership team. We also hired another design director, and hired a few designers just to make sure we have all the pieces and components that we need to so that the business is okay. We've also invested into other programs, like, for example, invested in outbound sales because, you know, not knowing how long I'll be out, it was important for me to make sure that we still are making connections with new companies. We had to create a maternity and a paternity policy that we felt was good for us, that was also good for everyone else in the company. We had to sort of figure out, you know, what kinds of projects, both internally and for clients, that we felt like was smart to take on. You know, like, for example, like right now at this phase, like, we're not taking on any new task. Like, anything that's like a new client or a new task definitely doesn't go to me or Natalie. It goes to someone else. We're just trying to tie up loose ends right now. But there is a lot. I mean, those are just some examples. But another one is figuring out the childcare thing. So, you know, Madi, who I mentioned, who's our managing director, was telling us about her experience. She's always had a full-time nanny. So she's been feeding us all the knowledge about interviewing nannies, what they cost, what to expect, like, should you offer them paid vacation? Should you offer them benefits and all this sort of stuff? And, Natalie's parents, a couple months ago decided that they wanted to retire. So we were like, what if we move you to Austin and put you on salary to take care of the baby and cover your cost of living? So what we're doing right now is we're actually buying an investment home and going to put our family in there, and they'll take care of the baby, and we're going to pay them a salary that allows, you know, them to take this seriously, where they can actually live pretty well on, comparable, maybe even more than, you know, what they're doing, you know, right now, where they can retire. And that puts that gives us the ability to have a full-time nanny that is grandma and grandpa and an aunt. They can teach them, teach our baby boy Vietnamese. We know that since it's family, that certain things are going to be possible. Like if Natalie and I want to go on vacations overseas, no problem. We got weekend care. If we went date night, no problem. We got date night care, no overtime, you know, nothing. And it gives us also a rental property. And it gives us all of that within, you know, 3 minutes of where we work and live. All these three locations would be three minutes away from each other. So I think that's probably going to be really interesting for our life, because at least for the first year while they're here, I think it'll be an easier transition for us to sort of, you know, get in baby mode. But also I think it's going to be really important to allow us to do the things that we need to do right now. Like, our business depends on regular travel to the Bay Area and to the West Coast in general, so the business can operate. If we cannot travel regularly, then we don't have a business, or we'd have to move to the West Coast. So I'm rambling, but yeah, we had to do a lot of things to get ready for this baby.
No, that's great. And you guys are super lucky that Natalie's parents are going to do this. I mean, you might have a bit of a challenge in adjusting that there's going to be basically her family around all the time, right? But yeah, realistically speaking, right? But I think this is brilliant, because if you want like a professional nanny to take care of your kid, that's like $50,000 a year, right? And $50,000 is a down payment on a house. So this whole investment totally makes sense. And maybe, you know, knowing how hardworking you are, maybe this is a great time that will allow you to switch gears and actually step back and have the business run. Like, if nothing crashes severely, you'll be able to take your time back and then say, maybe I don't have to go back full time.
But that could be really good for me, you know, because I have literally been hustling for 20 years, you know, like working really freaking hard. The last 5 years at Funsize have been the easiest. You know, I don't work evenings or weekends anymore, but I'm still working hard. And, you know, in this transition period, I told Mari, our managing director, like, I only want to work on the 20% of things that are the most important to the business. And I think that it would be great if that could be my job moving forward. just the few things that matter the most.
I want to see if there's anything even deeper that you want to share, because I mean, it is kind of a dramatic experience for you guys in a way. Knowing you guys, it is going to be very different. And I wonder whether you realize how different it will be, or you hope that you can steer it away from being different?
You know, my life with, you know, I've been with Natalie, you know, since, you know, 2006. And, you know, my life with her is just, has been an just awesome adventure. You know, we do all kinds of cool things together, both, you know, personal, play, and work. And I don't want that to change. You know, I know that things will change and the nature of that will change, but I want to continue developing that relationship with my life partner. I'm worried about that. You know, like I'm worried about the nature of our relationship changing.
Question, is there anything you want to know or worried about what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks that we're going to circle back and talk about, you know, 3 months from now?
I don't know. Like, I think the thing that we've been thinking about the most right now is whether or not we want to do this sleep training program. I know a couple of people who have done this, and in a very, very, very short time, the baby is sleeping on its own. And I know some people that are too scared to do that because they can't stand to hear their baby cry. That's probably the thing that I'm top of my mind, just because I know it's going to probably be one of the first things that we deal with. The other thing is, breastfeeding sounds like a crazy job. Natalie thinks that she's going to be able to breastfeed for months and months and months and months and run a business and come back to work after 3 months. Like, I don't think that's possible. I mean, Natalie says, oh, I'll be gone for 3 months on maternity leave. I'm like, yeah, right. You're probably out for at least 6 months. And those are probably the two things that are the biggest unknowns, you know.
How long are you taking for paternity leave?
I can't remember. I think in the policy that we created, I think I have technically 2 months. And then I also have like all my PTO. So I think what I'm going to do, well, what I want to do is just use my paternity leave when it's needed the most, when Natalie needs me the most. So I'm not going to take my paternity. I'm going to take my paternity a week off the first week the baby's here, maybe the second week. And then I'm probably going to use more days on the weekends that my family's here, not the weeks that her family's here. I just don't want to, like, there's no need for me to be there and her family to be there and use all that time off. I'd rather be around when she needs support. So I'm not sure if I'll take an extended period of time off, or if I'll work part-time for several months, or if I'll just take ad hoc days off depending on when Natalie needs me. I haven't figured that out. And I kind of need to give my team a plan A and a plan B, but I'm not sure what to do.
I think they'll figure it out. They're smart. But that's actually an excellent plan. I have a friend and a neighbor who, their kid, I think, is about 6 months now, and he's actually taking his paternity leave now as opposed to earlier, so that, you know, once all the parents have left, I mean, Natalie's parents are going to be around, but that's a great plan that you can actually stretch it further into the kid's future and do it then.
Yeah. You know, at first when I told Natalie that, she's like, why would you not want to be there? And I was like, Natalie, like, you know, it doesn't make sense for, you know, your mom and your dad and your aunt and you to be there. They're going to be taking care of you, right? You're going to be busy. Like, I'm just going to be sitting around in the way. Wouldn't you rather me be there when they're gone? She's like, oh yeah. But like, at first that almost caused her to think that I didn't care about the baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's been a challenge for me to be able to communicate with her the way in which I want to help and why I want to help that way, and having it align with her vision of what I'm supposed to be doing. That makes sense.
It does. I can't wait to hear, you know, how this changes or doesn't change a few months from now, and whether the plans have worked or there's a new plan Z in place.
And I guess you just gotta figure it out. You probably know. You know best.
Well, we did a lot of things our own way, and some of them worked out, some of them didn't. Like you mentioned, sleep training. Our first kid didn't do any sleep training. We can handle the crying. But she also had a, I think it's personality dependent, and we didn't get the timing right, and we traveled a lot. So that all got into the whole sleep training and basically ruined it for us. But the second one, we did like 2 days of sleep training, and then she sleeps on her own.
Wow.
I know. It's been amazing. But, you know, if we only had one child, I would have never known that the second version is possible.
Wow. In a way, do you think it's easier to have one or two children?
Well, I think it's definitely easier to have one. Like you'll hear other guests on the podcast say that one child, like, well, it's a lot of work. You have two children. You're like, what was I thinking? Right? That's so much work. And then you have, apparently when you have three kids, you're like, oh, two kids was a vacation. So I do think it probably gets harder because it's more time intensive, but it's nice once you have two kids and they can play together.
Yes, right. Like when they're older and they can watch out for each other, you know, and hold each other accountable. I mean, yeah, sure, they're going to like pester the shit out of each other. But I know, I grew up with, you know, two siblings. And, you know, when we were a certain age, my parents could just trust us to watch each other and take care of each other a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So that was part one of my conversation with Anthony. At that point, he's eagerly awaiting the new baby, but he's also planning to have the baby be part of their life and not to have to dance around the baby and to plan their life to accommodate the newborn. Let's find out what happens shortly. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. ClipGain.io is a wonderful tool for any podcaster to make your episodes sound professional with no work at all. Just upload your file, get a cup of tea or coffee, whatever you're into, come back, and your file sounds like it's been edited with a professional editor. You quite literally don't have to do anything, but your podcast will sound so much better. To find out more, go to clipgain.io. That's CLIPGAIN.io. And take a look for yourself. And now let's get back to Anthony Armendariz. This next conversation happens exactly a year later.
You know, last time we talked, there was basically a couple main points. Like, you were very conservative. I could tell, you know, the baby was about to come and you were very conservative, where you didn't really want to like offend Natalie or like say anything that was potentially, you know, like upsetting around the baby or the family. But at the same time, you kind of admitted to the fact that at the time, baby didn't feel very important. The business was important. You guys were an integral part of the business. And so it wasn't quite clear how the business was going to run, where you're going to be busy with the baby, and Natalie's definitely was going to be busy with the baby, you know, and that was all that in play. So I want to talk to you about what it's like now, a year later, you know, where the business is, where you guys are, how's your relationship, to the baby, and whether it matched your expectations or it's widely different.
Mm. Yeah, so much to unpack there. I remember around the time that I talked to you, I was probably just really scared and concerned because, you know, to be perfectly honest, I never wanted to have kids. Having kids wasn't something that I ever thought was important to me or to my perception of success or happiness. And so, honestly, it was really difficult because, you know, during, you know, all those initial visits to the doctor in preparing to have the baby and even delivering the baby, I really wasn't sure if I really wanted to be a dad, you know? And part of it was because I was worried about business. A lot of it was more selfishness, like my, you know, like just ego, like Anthony's own ego sort of like speaking out. And I don't know why. I think maybe I felt that way because I had spent most of my 20s and my 30s like really struggling financially. And I felt like now that I'm in my 40s with a successful business, I'm finally able to spend time and money on myself. And I think at the end of the day, I really wasn't ready to give up focusing on myself. But, you know, I mean, as you know firsthand, you know, when the baby comes into your life, I mean, things dramatically change. You know, I instantly fell in love with him, you know, from the very first moment. And, you know, from in that very, you know, first hour, even I couldn't imagine not being a dad. It was the infancy stage was a lot easier than I expected. Like I found it pretty easy to do a lot of the things that I thought would be hard, like changing diapers and putting him to sleep and
caring for him, all of that I found pretty easy to do. But I didn't really, I don't know if other dads feel this way, but I didn't really develop a strong connection with him until he was maybe 6 or 9 months old, when he started to actually notice me. And now that he like quite literally is turning 1 year old tomorrow, I'm pretty excited about it because, you know, he wants to be around with me. You can tell, you know, he's being affectionate and, you know, and reacting to me. And I'm starting to find that some of my most favorite things to do right now are being with him. You know, like I would, no disrespect to anyone at work, but I would obviously much rather be with him than anyone at work. And I would much rather be with him than working and all of that. On the business side of the things, you know, I was worried about the business struggling because I was worried about losing Natalie, but she, you know, despite all, I mean, she's doing a lot, you know, she's done a lot of hard work and it's been really difficult for us because our baby hasn't been a good sleeper, but we're both still working and we're both still getting work done. It forced us to prioritize. So instead of trying to work on everything, like we're able to work on maybe 10%, 20% of the things that matter the most to us or the business. And so in a way, like our work has gotten easier. Plus we have like tons of people in the company that have risen to the occasion and have taken over leadership and ownership of certain things. And, you know, we're at, to the extent where we, you know, Natalie and I can totally be out of work for many, many days or weeks and the business is going to be great. What really blows my mind is that the biggest amount of growth that our company has ever had has been in this last year. So, it's been, you know, those are some of the notes about like where we are right now. The hardest thing for us has been the sleeping. Like he just won't sleep. He has to be rocked to sleep. He's every night for a year. He wakes up every 2 or 3 hours, every single night for the entire year. He won't sleep on his own. He'll eventually end up in the bed with us. And we've been debating, you know, options to try to figure out how to get our sleep and our sanity back. But we don't really want to do the sleep training. So we're just trying to deal with it and just trying to enjoy the moments and the experiences that we have while we can have them.
Last year, you were talking about losing Natalie and doing business as a separate things, but now it actually makes sense that you get such an integral part of each other and the business that I guess you were worried that if she were going to be busy with the baby and not be part of the business, then maybe you and her weren't going to be as close together either because of that, you know, like breakage in the business connection. Is that right?
With the business stuff, I was worried that a number of things could happen. Like number one, I was worried that she would no longer want to be in the business. That was probably the biggest thing because I've talked to a lot of people where that's happened, where the mother or the father decided, no, I'm just going to be a stay home mom or dad. That was my biggest fear because I believe that she is, you know, the greatest asset that I have, or one of the biggest assets that Funsize has. The other thing that I was worried about was our ability to grow, you know, like I was worried that finances or time or another factors would stunt our business growth.
So you guys were in that lovely video by Dan Petty called Beyond Avatars, yeah. Right? And where Natalie basically admitted, though, that was a few months ago, but that when she had the baby, she really did want to stay home with the baby. And I mean, business was great, but like the baby was kind of a lot more important. Is that fair to say that's still true or it's changing?
I think we both,
what do you think?
You know, feel the same way, you know, like baby is obviously the most important thing. So, you know, everything else comes second. We just found, you know, like we're just lucky because we have, a 20 to 24 person sized business and plenty of leadership that can keep the business going. Like if we weren't at the size that we're at, it would have been a completely different story. You know, like if we were still 4 to 8 people, this might have dramatically changed our desire to want to be running a business. But, you know, we have 24 people. So, you know, and we invested a lot of time over the years in growing people into leadership roles. So a lot of those fears were just fears and assumptions. And it was quite surprising to see what, you know, what people would do and how they would proactively take leadership in our absence.
That's pretty impressive. 24 people since was it tripling things since last year?
Well, 2 years. It's hard for me to think year by year. I know that 2.5 years ago we were 8 people.
Hold on a second. Let's get to the business side in just a minute. But before we get too far away, I want to, it wasn't quite a question and I hate giving parenting advice, but this one I feel like I must in terms of the sleep training, because what you're describing was exactly us with our first child. And the opposite of that was us with the second child, who basically sleeps through the night, goes to bed on her own, and I don't even have to read a book or sing a song or anything. They're very different, right, in terms of personalities, but man, you might actually want to consider into that sleep training thing. It only lasts for like 2 or 3 days. So at the end of the day, it's, you're not listening to your baby crying all that long, but the amount of sleep you actually start getting afterwards is definitely worth it. The key part is figuring out when your baby's ready for it. Cause I remember clearly that it's like for a while, they're not actually ready for it, but you kind of have to sense it on your own. But then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you know what? Today I'm just going to leave you in bed.
Yeah.
And they cry for a while. And then they're like,
you said, like you assume before you have a baby that, you know, they're coming into your world and they will just deal with your world. But then you quickly realize that they are people with their own personality and their own preferences, right? And their own thing. And the sleep training is something that we've spent a lot of time looking into. We've started to develop a pretty strong opinion against it, because we read a few medical reports and it was talking about how there's like two different kinds of babies and human beings, like babies and human beings that really need an emotional touch, where crying doesn't help them go to sleep. It actually makes them more anxious. And then there's a type of baby where they crave crying because it actually makes them relax. And the studies show that personality never changes. So if you have a baby type that is that first type and you're sleep training them, what you're essentially training them is that you're not going to help them when they are at like their most anxious and stressed out moment. And there's a strong, in this report, there's a strong link to sleep training with those kind of babies and lifetime of depression.
That's fabulous. Well, yeah, way to abandon your child.
What we have decided is that he's only going to be a baby for a brief moment in time. And instead of sleep training, we're going to enjoy every minute with him. Even if we're not sleeping.
You know, that's awesome, because I distinctly remember you talking last year as saying, no, you know, you were very much afraid that the baby is going to come in and the baby is going to dictate the rules. And you were saying, no, like this is going to be my life, right? And the baby is going to join my life. And in fact, I think you talked to Rick, one of your designers, or the guy who used to be a designer at Funsize, right? And he told you that, like, you know, if you want to listen to music at 4 a.m., like, you listen to music and you let your kid listen to music. And you were like, yeah, this is going to be us. And it sounds like a year into, you're like, yep, okay, baby's life, I mean, let's do this.
But, you know, I think there's a balance, you know, like, you know, it's also hard for, another problem is that it's because of the type of lives we live. And, you know, think about it, like, we always have to travel on a moment's notice to San Francisco or Boston or overseas. And it is almost impossible for us to keep him on a consistent schedule.
Right. You just did this insane trip to what? Greenland? No, I forget. Where was it?
Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a baby for like a week, a short getaway with a 24-hour flight. How is that possible?
Well, it was an experiment. We wanted him to get used to being on airplanes, and we definitely want to be able to travel with him, because traveling is something that we know we have to do for work, and we know that we need to do it because it's something that we care about. And so, you know, like we just, you know, we, you know, Mari, you know, our managing director had given us loads of tips on ways to do things, you know, how to take care of the baby on the trip, different devices and stuff like that. And so we just figured we'd try it out. Like, it's not an extremely long overseas flight, you know, like, you know, for example, from Minneapolis where we connected, it was only a 5-hour flight, you know? So it's not like going like 8 hours or 10 hours might've been way different, but it was a good way to sort of, you know, kind of test that out.
No, it's great that you're saying that, because it's really easy to baby the baby, right, and not do that. Another rad dad on the podcast, Aviel Ginsberg, he's a VC here in Seattle. He was saying that his baby took 13 flights in his first 12 months of life.
Whoa.
Yeah, because but what it is I think they took the kid on every business trip that he went on. So wow. About once a month, you know, but that allows the family to have a couple of days of impromptu vacation. So I guess you manage, right, at the end of the day?
Yeah, you know, completely different conversation, but I'll be really curious to see how he or who takes care of his baby while he's on a business trip.
Oh, well, he takes his wife and she does it while he has to go to a meeting or something. Ah. But then, yeah, I mean, you balance, right? Mm-hmm. But this way, you don't have to miss the child and the child doesn't miss you. Like, everybody's happily doing something together.
Yeah.
That's pretty great that you guys are coexisting with a baby.
If he could just sleep, man, things would be like perfect. Oh yeah,
another six to 12 months and you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, gonna go by fast.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about business. You know, for the folks who are like contemplating kids or have young kids and are running a stressful business, because before having a kid you put all these gears in place to prepare your business to basically be autonomous, and you just said that it grew faster than ever.
Yeah.
Does it mean you're basically ready to step back and let the business do its thing while you go back to being a full-time dad?
I don't think that either of us are at a point yet where we want to be a full-time stay-at-home parent. But I can't necessarily speak for Natalie, but I'm definitely at a point where I want and need to work less. I'm in my 40s and I've been, you know, I know that everyone has their own story, but I've been really hustling since I was about 18 years old, working really hard, like only working really. I desperately need and want more time to focus on myself and on my relationship with Julian and my relationship with my wife, Natalie. And I am working, but I'm just working less and I'm being more focused on the things that I'm most passionate about and that impact the business the most. And then, yeah, to your point, right? Like, the more people you have in your company, the more opinions, you know, and people want opportunity. And I think at some extent you have to be willing to let the business grow so that you can do these other things that you want to do, right? Like, for there's a number of scenarios, right? Like, maybe it's not a bad idea to hire more designers so that you don't have to work as much, right? Or maybe it is okay to promote someone to an executive level position so that you don't have to make all those decisions that you used to have to make. And maybe, at least for us, growing wasn't planned, but it has allowed us to have a better balanced life, especially with a baby. If, like I said earlier, like if we were 10 people, it would probably be very, very difficult.
But aren't you stressing out more now because you have more bills to pay and, you know, more clients to support and you have to go chase more clients? Or is the business now just better off that other people are able to find clients for you so you're not the one doing all the sales work?
I haven't really worried about money and our business for about 2 years. We have just because of things that, you know, different things that we've done or that we're lucky to have that have put us in that position, like, we have a very, 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 very solid financial team who would be able to warn us in 6 months if we were predicting cash flow problems. The business itself has so much money in the bank that we could probably operate for a year without a single client. And that doesn't even include, like, not a year. That's wrong. That's an exaggeration. But I can confidently say that we could operate for 6 months if we lost all of our clients. And then we have line of credit, which would keep us going for another month or two. And also our model for business development is focused on account management. So most of our revenue is coming from extended relationships with our existing clientele. That's about 80% of our business. We only bring in about 10 or 20% net new clients per year. So it allows our staff to impact our sales by focusing on servicing our clients extremely well and providing strong account management related focus versus a sales focus. And, you know, and then on top of that, you know, we have Mari, who's our managing director, who pretty much, is running at least a third of all of our business. So, we just have really strong people and systems in place that we don't really have to worry about those things. Now, sure, we want to be conservative. We want to make sure we're protected, but it doesn't stress me out. Sorry, that was a long way of saying I'm not stressed out about that.
No, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because, I remember every time I'd meet you over the last couple of years, you were always pretty stressed. Even if you were doing well at the company, you would always be stressed about what's next. You know, how do we grow? Yeah. How do we make more money? Anthony's always stressed. So it's great to hear that now that you have a kid, you're just sleep deprived. But finally, after 20 years of working on, design, you're not stressed anymore. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it also, you have a choice, right? Like, you can choose to be stressed out or not. And this is something that I'm learning. Like, for example, like, if you have an opportunity to grow and you hire more people, yes, that does cause you to have to bring in more sales, which could make things more stressful, right? But if you have good systems in place and you know you're protected, that alleviates some of that stress. Now, if you really think about it in the most basic form, if you have a bad year, if you have a bad quarter, you don't, like, business is a business and businesses can shrink their businesses, right? And yes, it sucks to ever imagine the disaster of having to let people go that you love. But what's better, giving them, having an opportunity to work together for a few years or never having that opportunity at all, So, when I look at it that way, I start thinking, well, it's okay, right? You can expect a certain amount of people leaving your company because they're going on, to new adventures. And then you get to reevaluate how you're going to spend that money. And, and you have to take some risks, and and most businesses can expect over their lifetime periods where they're growing and where they're scaling down a little bit. We've never had a point where we've scaled down. But it would be ridiculous to think that that would never happen in our company's history,
Right. And what's the worst that happens, right? Okay, you let somebody go for a while. I was reading about Slack, right? And how Stuart Butterfield first started with his gaming company before they were doing Slack. Then they had to basically fire pretty much everyone. But when they started Slack and Slack started doing well, they actually hired a bunch of their previous employees back into Slack. Because, once you're working with people, they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, life moves on.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, you have a choice in deciding how you want these things to affect your stress level to some extent.
So tell me, one thing you guys had to do before having a baby, and you did it for Fundsize as a whole, is create a paternity and maternity policy. Now that you have a kid, would you change anything about your policies, now that you actually know what it's like?
Oh my God, I would double or triple it. I felt like we created something that was pretty good for a small family-owned business. But even at that, it's just not enough, especially for moms. Man, watching Natalie go through what she went through, they're just superheroes, and to do all of that, go through all of that and work at the same time. Jesus, but it's hard because, if you're a heavily funded tech company, maybe you can give people 6 or 9 months, but when you're in client services and you're depending on, billings and stuff like that, it's a lot harder. But yeah, I don't know. I think people everywhere should just be given more time for their kids, or maybe even if you can't create a really, really long maternity and paternity program, at least be flexible with people to let them choose when they want to be out, or let them, cause you may not even want that whole, for example, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have taken all my paternity leave up front. I would have taken a few days during the birth. And then, my in-laws were in town. And so Natalie had people to take care of her anyway. I was just in the way. I would have taken my paternity leave weeks later when the family was gone and Natalie really needed me,
So why didn't you?
Well, I did, I'm lucky enough that, as an owner of the company, I can do what I want, you know, and my team was flexible with me, you know, but not everyone has that luxury. And, you know, even now, like, you know, we have someone at the office that's going to be having a baby. Can't mention who it is, but, you know, I gave him some of that advice. I was like, look, you know, I mean, at least think about that, because maybe you want to take the time when you need it the most, or maybe at a time when you're connecting with the baby more, or maybe even, you know, need the flexibility to spread it out over a very long period of time. But yeah, I mean, I just can't stress enough about, you know, at least for moms, like, it's really difficult, and mothers really should be given a proper time off and proper flexibility. It's of course easier for dads, but still it's hard too.
Right. No, it's great to hear you say that, because I think still not a lot of dads and, you know, male business owners would admit to this being the case.
Yeah.
One more thing, because when we chatted last time, you said that there's a big difference between being with your family and being around your family. Mm-hmm. Now that the business is doing well and you guys, you know, have some time to relax and be with the kid, what do you think? Have you been able to find that fine balance where you are able to be present with the child?
Right now, yes. In the earlier months, not so much. Like in the earlier months, I was still finding myself like trying to look at email or trying to take phone calls, or like maybe even being frustrated about trying to rock him to sleep because I was trying to think about something else, you know? And I really, you know, have just become excited about giving him my full attention and also giving Natalie my full attention. So over the last maybe 2 or 3 months, I've been trying to do everything that I can to make sure that like when I'm home, I'm just 120% at home. I don't allow, you know, any emails to notify me, or, you know, like, I'm even trying to design my life in a certain way where I can do that. Like, I haven't actually done this yet, but, you know, I've debated like removing all apps from my phone at all of them. But at the very least, when I'm home, I'm not looking at my phone at all for any reason whatsoever. I think Natalie, you know, is a little bit different, but for me, like I'm really trying to be there, present, really soak in the entire experience. Like, you know, even if you think about it, even if you're taking photos of your baby, you're not really there in the moment, and you're not going to remember it as much because you were behind a camera. But if you're there and the camera's gone and like you're just there, right? And all that energy is there. Like, I feel like it's a much better experience and stuff that'll last longer, because time goes so fast. You know, like I started to think, you know, 3 to 6 months into Julian's life, I was like, shit, I should have spent more time with him in those first 3 months, because you look back and it's already been a year. Right. And so I don't know. I just think that those moments are so important that you just really need everything that's not family completely out of the way. And you know, like, I don't know, for me, that means like not having any technology involved in any time when our family is spending time together.
That's amazing to hear. I feel like personally, you're also going through a very zen transition as Anthony, you know, never mind the baby. That's amazing.
I'm trying to be a better person, you know, because I, you know, like I realized that I was being selfish, you know, I'm trying to let go, and what I've learned is that like, it's, well, you know, if I can let go of that, some of that selfishness and some of that stuff and put Natalie and the baby first, like, I mean, you know, everyone's happier, you know, and there's plenty of time to work, right? You know, especially if you're self-employed, it's so easy to let things bleed. But, you know, if you really think about it, like what's so bad about limiting work to an 8-hour work day, right? What's so wrong with like telling your client, no, sorry, I can't talk to you until tomorrow morning. Furthermore, what's wrong with like working less than 8 hours, right? Like what's wrong with like spending 4 really good hours at work versus like 8 okay hours at work, you know?
Yes. The reality is nothing wrong with that, but everyone who hasn't realized this yet will try to convince you that 8 hours is really the most productive, or maybe even 16 hours. You know, you can do so much more, not realizing that you can just be better at doing things, and that's all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great advice here. If I haven't asked you something yet, is there anything else you want to like tell busy parents, parents to be, you know, given that what you've learned so far?
It sounds cliche because it's what, you know, everyone told me, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what everyone says, but it's so true. Like, time just goes by so fast. You know, you think about your marriage or your relationship with your significant other. Natalie and I just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary, and I've been thinking to myself, man, it would have been nice to have spent more like real quality time with her. Because now with the baby here, our definition of quality time is different. The availability of alone time is much different. In a way, I feel like I've neglected the moments that I had with Natalie that I'll never be able to replace. And the same thing happens with the baby, right? Like they're only going to be, you know, they change so fast, you know, and they're, you know, and each stage is really awesome, but you know, you got to just really enjoy it because it, you know, it's just going to move so fast. And I think that's really it. Like if you're going to bring another human into the world, I mean, you need to realize that you're dealing with another human being that has a personality and wants and needs and feelings. It's not just a baby. It's a you, right? It's a best friend. It's someone that you really need to treat properly. You know, just like any other, you know, relationship needs love and caring and development.
This is great advice. I'm really glad you're saying it.
What about you? I mean, what do you tell new parents to be?
In general, the reason I'm having this podcast is because I don't like telling people anything. You know, it's up to you to figure out your own way, and we're not going to agree on most things with most people, but that's fine. I think as long as people can take little bits here and there that resonate with them. But I do like the fact that you're saying that it's okay to, you know, relax and to be present and to spend more time with your kids because they only grow up once, et cetera, because... Yeah, like other people will tell you that, but we also live in a world, especially if you're in business in tech and startups, right? The mentality around that is the opposite. It's like, no, go and spend 20 hours at work, you know, sleep under your desk. Like 20 years later, eventually your equity will be worth something and you're going to be rich. And it's just like 20 years later, you might be dead. That's not really useful. So yeah. I think you're saying this and like knowing how busy and how kind of stressed and engaged in your business you have been over the last couple of decades, it's great to see that with the kid you're also realizing that, you know what, like there's time for everything and now there is time to be with your family, and that's great.
Yeah, and you know, like one last thing I guess I'll say is that it's also okay to be away from the baby, right? Like it can be really hard, you know, like to do all these things. And, you know, parents are human beings too. You know, like sometimes I think we look at our parents as we get older and we just say, well, that's mom or that's dad. But mom and dad were young once. They had passions and dreams. They were in love. They had hobbies. They're people too, right? And so,
and then they had you.
And we have to make sure we have time for ourselves so that we can be better for our kids. You know, like it's hard, but sometimes it's okay to just like have someone babysit your baby for a day or two so that you can spend time on bettering yourself or your relationship with your significant other. Yeah, you're going to miss the baby. And yeah, you might feel like it's wrong to do that, but I don't know, like if it helps you have more quality time. And, you know, I think investing in yourself and your relationship is really important too.
That's valid. That's something I should definitely, well, both Jen and I should definitely do more of, which we haven't been. It's been really hard to find a reliable babysitter or somebody we would trust to spend time with the kids.
Yeah, I bet. I can't imagine how difficult that actually is. I mean, that's another thing where we're really lucky. We're really lucky that Natalie's parents moved here and take care of him every day. Cause like, you know, it sucks to not be with him, but at least we know he's with family. And I know that like very few people have that luxury.
All right there, Rad Dad listeners. Thank you very much for tuning into this episode. And as always, if you enjoyed it, please tell your friends. And much thanks to our sponsor, ClipGain.io. If you want your podcast to sound amazing in just one click, check out ClipGain.io and sign up for an account today. All right, see you next time.